Hello?
If you can hear this, it's not too late. I've returned to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel and pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
Jury duty f***ed me, so
yeah.
What am I going to do about that? I got $15 a day, baby. Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our weeble wobble. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
And I'm Ari.
And this is
Time Pop. I keep trying to do it different each time. I don't know if it's noticeable.
And this is Time Pop.
Time Pop. Time Pop?
Is this Question Time Pop? Mark? Time Pop? Hi, I always try to save our like how are you doings until we start recording, but of course we always end up talking a little bit, and we talked a little bit off mic, but it's so good to be here sitting with you doing this after last week's jury duty that just threw everything off. So thank you for being here.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
Did this throw off? When did you watch Primer?
Right. So I watched it a long time ago and I remember not liking it.
Okay.
Yep. So when we originally were going to record, I watched it once on my own and then I was going to watch it again and then take notes. But then we got, you know, jury duty happened. And so then I watched it again last night and a little bit this morning.
So did you rent it again or did you buy it?
I rented it at first and then I watched it on YouTube with commercials.
Oh, perfect.
Nice. How many times did you watch this, Dez?
I have, in the last week, I have seen it, I think, 5 times.
Wow.
And that's a total amount. Like, I watched it once just straight through and then in pieces during jury duty and then one more time this morning, but I've probably seen it 10 to 12 times total.
Do you remember what you thought of it the first time you saw it?
Oh, I was blown away.
Okay.
I was absolutely, this is one of the few movies, I don't introduce people to movies very often. Like, I don't have a too quirky of a taste, but I have found in the past when, you know, you're just like, oh my God, this is so good. You have to sit down and watch this with me. And then I sit down and watch with someone. I kind of start to watch it through their eyes. And I'm just like, oh, maybe this isn't, like, it's good. I still enjoy it. It doesn't ruin that.
Yeah.
But I realize I put too much on it. But this is one of the few movies that I'll go back to. And just, if you want to get me, sit down and watch this movie.
So the first time you saw it, you thought it was amazing.
Yes.
Why? Just think back to when you first saw it. Why did you think it was amazing?
Because it was a time travel story I felt like I could follow. You know, I just either...
You followed this?
That's the thing. I didn't.
The first time.
Not even the... Like, I thought I could because it deals with days and hours. I was like, oh, okay. He went there. Okay, I got it. He's Tuesday now. Okay. Now it's Wednesday. Okay, back to Tuesday. You know, and then by the end of... And then the end stuff all happens and it totally comes unraveled and I can't follow it. But I felt like, because time travel movies either like Back to the Future, where it's just like, oh, we go to 55 and then we come back. Not hard to follow.
Yeah.
Or they get so overcomplicated, you just don't care anymore. And this one, I guess I really liked the days as opposed to years and decades and centuries.
Okay. Yeah. I remember watching this, being confused, being frustrated and confused, a little bit intrigued, but overall thinking that this movie was stupid. And I saw this when it came out, so what was that, 2004?
Yeah.
And so I probably wasn't as into time travel as I am now back then, and I remember thinking it was unnecessarily complicated.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And you know what? I still feel that way.
I definitely saw it later. I didn't see this movie until 2009, 2010. Mm. And when I saw it, I was surprised it stayed off my radar. Well, and you have an issue with low budget movies sometimes. I mean, not necessarily that you don't like people who don't have money, but if you don't have the money to do it right, then just go do something else.
No, it's not low budget movies, because you can make a good you can tell a good story with a low budget. I don't like bad stories. So it's all about the story, right? This is what movies are. We're telling a story. It all starts with the writer. I don't like it if it's bad acting or if it's bad, you know, directing overall, or that's what I have trouble with. It's not low budget movies. It's either a bad story or it's a bad casting or it's bad sound.
Which is usually indicative of low budget.
Right.
Usually things kind of come together.
Right. So the movies that I tend to not like happen to be low budget because one of those important aspects is suffering because of the low budget. And this movie was very low budget, right?
Very, very. This was $7,000. So this is the second time you've seen it?
So in this, recently I've seen it three times. I watched it three times and I did what you do. I turned the subtitles on.
Nice.
And it was so helpful because they talk over each other and they mumble and the sound is so bad that I was like, I just turned the subtitles on and it helped.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Did you watch it with Scott?
I watched it once with Scott and twice by myself.
How did, has he seen this movie a lot? I know he reveres this movie.
I don't know if he's seen it a lot, but he definitely likes it. I know most people really like this movie. And in my opinion, when you break it down, it's a terrible movie.
Let's get there. We watched Primer. Released in 2004, it was 77 minutes. That helped.
Super short.
I'm sure that helped you get through it, even if you were still on it. And it made me, when I first saw that, I was like, oh, I'm going to watch this a lot. Like, if it had been 120 minutes, I would have been like, all right, I'll get through this one more time. Written, directed, and starring Shane Carruth. Abe, played by David Sullivan. This has a Rotten Tomatoes critics audience rating of 73-79. This had a budget of $7,000. All right, I guess that's all I have for the facts of this. We're gonna move right along to Ari's overview, and if she can do this in under 77 minutes, congrats. Or she's gonna do it really short, or it's gonna take her 7 seconds.
So I've been thinking about this, and I watched it, and then I watched a YouTube video explaining it. And after I watched that YouTube video, and they were very thorough, they talked about mainly the time travel and the motivation behind some of the things in the movie. After I watched the YouTube explanation, I got very mad at this movie.
Oh.
Because there were things told to me in the explanation that I did not pick up on after watching it twice. I believe I had watched it twice. And it made me realize that this movie was unnecessarily vague, whether they chose to do that or because of their budget, they had to do it, but it was unnecessarily vague. I get that you want to be a little bit vague when you're talking about science fiction and things are not actually true, but this movie made me mad.
Do you feel like the YouTube video inferred some information, or do you think it just you just had to watch it painfully close to figure it out?
No, the YouTube video said we are assuming that this is what the character did based on all the information from the movie, and they were correct. I can show you which video I watch, and it was spot on. And it was actually a really well done video as far as explaining how many times they traveled and who was who, and it made sense. And so what I'm gonna do is describe the movie to you, do the overview as if you are watching the movie for the very first time. And most of us, when we watched this movie for the very first time, did not understand shit. The movie opens with a voiceover, and we don't know whose voiceover it is. And he's saying, you know, just listen to this. I have to explain. And then he starts to tell the story, talking about Aaron and Abe. So these guys are in the garage, and it looks like a total, you know, early 2000s startup type of situation, a bunch of tech stuff in a garage, and these four guys are building something in the garage. They're doing startup stuff is what I wrote.
Exactly.
And of course they're talking over each other and they're mumbling, and the entire movie is done in ADR, so it's kind of hard to understand, and that very much frustrates me. And I just kept writing vague, 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 vague. You don't know what they're building. You don't know what they're talking about. I read somewhere that the writer of this movie was an engineer and he didn't want to dumb it down for people. He wanted it to be confusing, and that's what it was. All right. So...
Hey, should I talk over you so that the listeners can get the same experience you had watching this movie?
Yeah. So they start off talking about a bunch
of... So they're talking about a bunch of
stuff. Oh, goodness. They're talking about a bunch of tech terms that doesn't make any sense, and they're trying to build something. We don't know what they're trying to build, and they don't tell us what they're trying to build. But they're saying all these like numbers, and there's all these machines, and they're, you know, showing all this stuff while the voiceover happens.
Did you, with all the stuff they're talking about, sorry to interrupt a little bit, but this just happened the last time I watched it. It's like the 12th time I've ever watched it. Did Abe and Aaron, were they talking about the other two guys?
When?
At the beginning, when they're like, okay, we need to do this, we need to do that, we need to get Freon, we need to get... Because for the forever, I thought they were just talking about something we had never heard of that they were trying to recreate. Because they were definitely looking at some kind of blueprints or some kind of plans that they were trying to make.
Were they? I don't know. They. I think that the writer purposely made this vague.
Well, I know he's trying to make it vague, but whose idea were they building? Was this the idea like they set up in the beginning when they're in the kitchen of them? When again, it was kind of like you said, it was kind of vague of like, well, I want to do my plan, or we want to do his plan, or we want to make his thing.
I don't remember.
Okay.
I just remember they're being vague, and they're getting parts from cars and from the back of fridges, and they're building a metal box, and they're building this thing. And then one night it's just Abe and Aaron in the garage, and the machine is on because Aaron, the dark-haired one, the brunette, is sticking his hand over the little plate thing, and he's like, I don't know if I can feel it or if I just think I am. So the machine is on, and he's sticking his hand over the little area where they have these discs, right?
So what they're trying to make, from the best I can guess, is something that alleviates weight, something that will make things, and they're like, well, if they can make something 10 pounds feel more like it's 5 pounds, then that will save on energy, because then they can transport it as a 5 pound device that, as opposed to a 10 pound device.
That is a good guess as to what they're building, but they don't really want you to know. I think they purposely are keeping this ridiculously vague.
Yeah.
But there is one point where they take some like paper, little pieces of paper from when you do a hole punch, and they float them over this area. So again, this is possibly a hole. The machine is on and they're floating some paper slightly over the machine, and then they're like, okay, we got to build a box. You know, it's like this, can you know, can we put a window in the box? No, it's this super dangerous box we have to, or this thing that we have to put a box on, and we can't see it, but let's stick your camcorder in there and see if we can see what's happening in the box. So at first the machine is on and they're putting their hands over it, but then they have to build this box to protect it because it's this big thing, like, oh my goodness. So then they have to fill the box with argon gas. Argon gas is a real thing. Argon is an element, right? And they are looking, and then they put a little Weeble in it. So Des at the beginning of the episode said the Weeble, and it's like this little toy egg-shaped thing that like wobbles back and forth.
Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down.
Oh.
So you ever heard that?
I have. That sounds familiar.
All right, yes.
So they put this toy thing called a Weeble Wobble in the box, and they fill it full of gas, and they turn it on, and they're looking at like some number.
They're looking at a scale.
For how much it weighs.
And yes, and that starts to go down.
Slightly.
Yeah, not a ton, but they're getting positive results for what their initial hopes are of this device.
And the first half of this movie is ridiculously slow. It's strange. It's ridiculously slow, but it's still kind of captivating. I don't know whether it's because you don't know what they're building and you're really trying to focus and pay attention to pick up on what that, whatever it is they're trying to build, or if it's just the way that it's filmed with their shots. You know, they do a lot of like close-up moving camera.
It's slow, but there is motion. So it's like, it's kind of a weird, what's going on screen is kind of slow, but the story seems to be moving. At least that's what I get. But the story's moving pretty, something's happening.
Yeah, I think you're intrigued because you're not really sure what they're building, and they're not really sure what they're building. At one point, they're like, what could this be used for? We made this little Weeble lighter. What could we possibly use it for?
And they say, they mention there's nothing could handicap us more. They want it published. Like, they're making this Weeble lighter, so they're getting positive reaction, but they know that to release this or to sell it or to publish on it too soon would be for other people to make the real riches on it.
Right. So they don't do anything with it yet. And then really quickly, really briefly, we're introduced to two other characters. One is named Rachel, who possibly likes Abe, the blonde one. And then Rachel's dad, who is showing up at a party at their house to support Rachel, who likes Abe. But Rachel's dad, Mr. Granger, could also potentially be an investor in their company. And when I say brief, I mean it is like, and then the party's happened, and Mr. Granger's only there to support Rachel, and Rachel's only there because she likes Abe, or something along the lines. And then that's it. And they don't even talk they don't say any lines. You see him from behind, this guy, Mr. Granger.
They say, the only thing they say is weeks led to months. And so these vague parties are going on for a long time while they're...
Is that what they said? Yeah, I missed that.
They did. Yeah, they do make a huge time jump there while they're hoping that they're going to get Thomas Granger's attention, and which doesn't happen. And so also in these weeks and months, you can assume that they just keep working on this and,
yeah,
and learning more about it, kind of together and independently, but without the other two in the company.
But the first time you watch it, that is not clear.
It is not. So, well, they do say months, but it's just they could have done a better montage.
And you might have only caught it if you had the subtitles on.
Very true. Very true.
So then all of a sudden, Abe wants to show Aaron something. So the blonde guy wants to show the brunette guy something. And it's essentially a fungus that has been growing on the Weeble. And on his own, Abe took the Weeble to a lab, and the lab guy said, yeah, it's a fungus. And then they took the fungus in to be analyzed at another lab, and the guy said, yeah, it's a fungus, and the amount that you have been bringing in would take a really long time to grow. So Abe says that this amount of fungus has been growing on the Weeble, which has been in the machine. So essentially the machine has been on consistently this whole time, and every 5 days he's wiping off some fungus that would have taken 5 or 6 years to grow. So we'll come back to that.
I smell a hole.
Yeah. 5 or 6 days. I'm sorry. 5 days, 5 or 6 years. We'll come back to this.
Yes.
I'm putting a big fat hole right there. So then they try it with their watch. And they're saying,
Abe's already done this.
Yeah.
Abe is explaining all of this to Aaron. And again, that's why you know that there's been some independent research going on. And Abe seems to have found out a lot without Aaron.
So they try with a watch, a digital watch and a regular watch. And they're saying a bunch of numbers and they're talking over each other. And it's super confusing. And you don't pick up on most of it if it's your first time watching it and you don't have the subtitles on. And then Abe's like, yeah, it's simple. There's an A end and a B end, and it's looping back around itself. It's going from A to B, A to B, A to B, A to B, over and over and over again. And it's like 1300 times and number this and confusing and terms and blah. And I don't remember who said it. One of them says, it has to exit or you won't be able to see it at the end. So it, whatever it is in the box, has to exit or you won't see it at the end. Huh? Okay, so they're sitting outside of a storage place and they're talking, and then all of a sudden Abe, the blonde guy, says, I'm going to show you something. Don't freak out. Don't run away. And it just jumps to this. So they're sitting there talking about, like, what could this be used for? We don't really even know what we have. I guess they're...
I get the sense that this is all one day.
Okay.
That Abe comes out on the balcony, goes down to talk to Aaron on the bench.
That hasn't happened yet.
Yes, it has. That's how this day starts. I'm going to show you the most important thing you've ever seen.
Right. So after the Weeble A end, B end fungus thing, then he says, I'm going to show you the most important thing you've ever seen.
No.
No?
No. Abe steps out onto the balcony and approaches Aaron on the park bench.
And says, I'm going to show you the most important thing ever. And that's the start of the fungus thing?
Yes.
Okay.
And then they ditch work.
And they go to the two different labs.
They go to the two labs.
Then they test their watches.
They test their watches.
They talk about the A end and the B end.
Then they go to the U-Haul storage facility.
Then they go to the storage place. Okay. So then...
Did you get the sense that was one day? That's another thing that's kind of vague.
No, 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 not kind of vague. Incredibly, irritatingly vague.
The fact that Abe, I mean, they did a lot that day. So it's kind of hard in that aspect.
I have no idea if that's the same day. I stopped trying to figure that out because they're, of course, wearing the exact same outfit throughout the entire fucking movie.
Well, I realized that, though, and I did this the last time. I was like, okay, I'm going to figure this out. I realized the key to figuring this out is tie tracking.
And watching it 90,000 times. But we are talking about this as if you had seen it one time without the captions on. Yes. So
yeah, they're wearing white shirts.
White shirts and ties.
The whole movie.
Yeah. Very frustrating for me. Okay. So then they're in front of the storage place and they're talking about, well, we'd have to build a bigger one to put a person in. Where would we keep it? You know, it would have to be someplace temperature controlled where no one's going to bother it. And, you know, they kind of pan over and they're right in front of the storage place. And then Abe all of a sudden says, I'm going to show you something. Don't freak out. And hands Aaron some binoculars. And through the binoculars, he sees in front of the storage unit what looks like... It's Abe, but what looks like Abe leaving, okay? This frustrated me. The door to the storage place, when they show you it, they're walking away from the building and then he turns a corner and then he goes inside. And I realize this now that I've watched it a few different times, but when I first watched it, it looks like he's leaving. It looks like he's walking away. And then just at the very last second, he turns in, but then they cut away. But what he is doing is he's entering the storage unit.
Yes.
I'm waving my arms around in frustration, but you can't see it. And I'm frustrated. Okay, where was I? So he sees Abe entering the storage unit with like what looks like an oxygen tank. And Aaron's like, what the heck? So
then Aaron and Abe, who've been hanging out all day.
Yeah.
Learning about the fungus.
So then they go in behind Abe and they wait. They see Abe go into a storage unit and they wait 6 minutes and then they go in afterwards and inside it is this large coffin-sized box made out of plastic tubing and wires and there it is. And I wrote in my... Oh, I wrote a hole here. I'll come back to those.
You want a highlighter?
But there's only one box. So then they build two boxes because Aaron... And I guess he just assumed that you know now that Abe has gone back in time, even though they don't really say it, and Aaron wants to do it too. Okay, so quick pause on the overview. I may have wrote this in there because I remember writing it down, but where do they talk about entering in the B side? Hang on, when they start
that's
the machine.
That's on day one. That's again on day one. What I have down is day one. When Abe approaches Aaron for the first time from the balcony to the park bench, they ditch work to go to the labs, do the watch.
So I remember writing down, or maybe I just remember them saying it. They talk about
the
like,
A and the B in. Yes.
Yeah, they talk about the A and the B in, and it's got a loop around. But then at one point, one of them says, if we enter on the B end and come out on the A end, it should work.
Well, that's where they realize, because when they're doing the experiments on the watch is, for lack of a better term, dumb. And they can only take the watch out the same end that they put it in. But if the watch was smart and could get out whenever it wanted to, then it could potentially go in the B end and come out the A end.
Yeah. So they figure out that if you go in the B end, you can essentially travel back in time. So they build two boxes. They want to do it together. When they start the machine is when they are going to travel back to. So this is important.
I'm going to just jump in right now to realize that I'm wrong. And I've watched this movie. I've been taking notes and I'm wrong, because when Abe and Aaron, I'm jumping ahead a little bit. Sorry about this. When Abe and Aaron time travel to do the trading scam, basically, Abe has done that. And Abe obviously didn't do that on the day that he told Aaron about all of this. Because Aaron says, I want to do what you did. And Abe says, okay, this is what I did. And then I went and I learned a bunch about the stock market. And then I went in the box and then I came out of the box and then I made a bunch of money. So obviously that couldn't have been the same day that Abe talked to Aaron. So there are at least, Abe has done it at least twice, where one time he tested it. No?
No, because the only reason why I know that is because I watched the explanation on YouTube and he must have just done it quickly in that same day, like on the computer. So yeah, this is the first time Abe has traveled back.
One long day.
Yeah.
Where Abe and Aaron also spend that whole day together, Abe teaching Aaron about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's important to know that whatever time you turn the machine on is when you will travel back to. Now, the machine takes a little bit to warm up. You turn it on and it warms up and it gets to, let's call it, a temperature. And once it hits that temperature is when they will arrive back. And then...
Well, I think actually is what it does. So they put a timer on it to not turn on for 15 minutes so they can get the hell away from the storage unit. So there's less of a chance of bumping into each other. And then it turns on and then it takes 4 minutes to heat up.
To warm up, yeah.
But I think you also want to get out of it when it's cooled down. So I think you still want to get out of it right when you turn it on, not when it's heated up.
So they obviously thought about this a lot because they do it correctly. Yes, there's a turning it on, a warming up, and then a point to which it's, let's call it, active. And they arrive right, they arrive back at 9 a.m. I know we're jumping ahead here, guys. Sorry if this is confusing. They arrive back right when the machine is active. And then as it's in that moment cooling up, but for them winding down, they have to get out of the machine.
Correct. From the inside box perspective, it's cooling down. From the outside box perspective, it's warming up.
Yeah. Okay. They fill the box full of argon gas. Therefore, they need to bring an oxygen tank in with them. I'm going to talk about this hole right now because it is eating me a hole in my... It's a hole. It's bothering me.
Yes, let's talk about it.
So,
argon gas.
When you exhale oxygen, carbon dioxide comes out. So you are altering the amount of argon gas that you pumped into this little box, probably a certain amount, and you are changing what is in the box as far as argon gas versus carbon dioxide. So unless they have a separate tank, which they are exhaling carbon dioxide into... This is a hole.
Well, couldn't they still continually pump argon gas into it to keep it at a certain... Because it doesn't matter how much carbon dioxide is in there. It just matters that there is a certain amount of argon in there.
Maybe, but when you look at the box, there's no tank next to it. It's just a big, long box and wires, and there's no tank. And they don't talk about... I mean, maybe it's a continuous flow of argon oil, and it doesn't matter how much is in there, just that it's... more than carbon dioxide. Anyway, it's a hole. They don't talk about when you exhale, there's carbon dioxide. Hole.
There's always leaks.
So you gotta tighten up your straps. Okay, so they...
Damn it, Ari.
So they turn the machine on and they go and sit in a hotel all day. And then at 3 o'clock, they get back in the box and they travel back to 9 a.m. They get out of the box. Another thing that I thought was interesting, they don't actually show them physically getting in and out of the box, probably because it's not actually a box. But
I think it's a box. I bet it just has, I don't think there's a cool door on it because they make it sound like there's a really cool garage door on it. And
it's not. It looks more like plastic and tubing.
Yeah.
I do have to say their editor is not bad.
Ooh.
The editing in this is not bad. Okay. So they get out and they do stock things.
You know who edited this movie?
The director?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So he's got
a future somewhere.
In editing.
Yes.
Okay. So they do stock things and then they go back to the... So they spend the whole day doing stock things and then they go back and they see themselves going in at 3 p.m. Now, I have to also say this hole right now because my eye is starting to twitch and okay. So, and this also was not explained in my YouTube explanation that I watched. Yep, we're doing this now. So,
yes, let's do it.
They turn the machine on at 9. They go away to a hotel room. At 3 o'clock, they get into the box and they go back to 9 a.m. And at 9 a.m., they get out of the box and they live their day. So there are two of them, one in the hotel and one living their day. The ones living their day keep going with their day. And then at 3 o'clock, the ones in the hotel room get back in the box and go back to 9 a.m. And they should technically arrive again at 9 a.m. and be, what is that, 6 hours behind the original people that went back to 9 a.m. And so there should always be two versions of them. But in this movie, not explained, but in the YouTube video I watch, explained, they just say that they disappear into the past. This is the biggest, fattest, juiciest hole of this whole fucking movie. Sorry for swearing.
That's okay, because that is, yeah, this movie tries to negate the idea of loops, but obviously you're creating loops.
Yeah, they don't just disappear.
Disappear into the past, that's...
But do they never explain it, right? They just disappear and they talk about doubles a couple times and they don't explain it. But if you think about it, there should be two of them all the time. And okay, so that's a hole. We'll come back to it. So then they've traveled.
So yeah, from their perspective, I think they're just pretending that, sorry, just for the case of the movie, they've succeeded from their point of view. Because the one thing I did want to mention was that, another, again, for a movie that seems to take itself so seriously, I thought this was a little self-centric. The laws, at one point you see one of them looking at the laws. Rules to follow to evade causality paradoxes or generally screwing up your life. Do not disturb the box after you, I couldn't read a couple of words there, or your double is in it. So leave the box alone when you turn it on. When re-experiencing time, stay away from your double until he, she has started his or her journey backwards. Worry about yourself first. Now is the only moment that has to make sense. And then the end kind of trailed off to, don't be too cautious.
So Desmond is reading a list that they briefly show in the movie. And unless you pause it, you're not going to be able to get all that.
And even if I paused it, I recorded it, I did everything I could. And it was strange for them to show it at all, but then not focus right in on it. That was weird.
Because they like being vague. Okay. So they travel that one time and it worked. And now they're at home and they're talking to Aaron's wife and they talk about, you know, what would you do if you had all this money? And then Aaron says something about punching someone named Platt in the face. We don't really know who Platt is. They mentioned it a couple of times. I'm assuming from this perspective of just someone watching this once that it's someone he used to work with or a rival company or something.
I think it's his boss.
Or is his old boss? Yeah.
I think it's his current boss, which is just weird that this comes out of nowhere. Like by all accounts, he's obviously trying to start his own business, but he doesn't hate his job.
Yeah. So,
And
then the wife talks about how there's rats in the attic. Okay, I have another hole here, but we'll come back to that.
Yes.
They never actually show going in or out of the box. Then one day Aaron is bleeding from his ear and Abe is not. Okay, then we have 30 minutes left of the movie and shit gets weird. They're in the garage. Or Abe is in the garage and in walks the two other employees and they're talking about something. And then all of a sudden, Abe says, "What did you call him?" And the friend says, "Yeah, didn't you hear that so-and-so showed up to a party with a shotgun?" Okay, first of all, when they walked into the garage, they were not saying anything about that. I listened to it a couple of times. And out of nowhere, Abe says, "What did you call him?" And then the friends say, "Yeah, didn't you hear? So-and-so showed up to the party with a shotgun." And apparently it's Rachel's boyfriend or ex-boyfriend. This pissed me off tremendously. I don't know if this was a choice or the editing or they fucked up in filming it, but it made absolutely no sense.
Yeah, it was. I listened to it again a lot. Too, because yeah, they make it sound like they're talking about, like, what did you say?
And they were not.
Nothing.
They were not.
Yeah.
So I wrote a big mad face under that note. Then, to continue with the vague, confusing, unnecessary stuff, Abe and Aaron are by a fountain where it's very hard to hear what they're saying, even with the bad ADR, and they're looking for something. And it turns out they're looking for a cat, and they're arguing about the party with the shotgun and what they could be doing. And it's super vague.
And this is when we find out Aaron does say one thing. He said, "It's the day you told me about all of this."
Yeah.
So the same day that they spent all day in the labs learning about the fungus and all that, that night
was the party.
Was the party. And then
someone showed up with a shotgun and Aaron got it away from him.
Yes.
Saved the day. So Aaron had already saved the day when it comes to this party with this guy showing up with a shotgun. But now they're arguing about it, about how they're going to do it again, but differently. And then I wrote, Aaron gets a call in the hotel room. So it was the next day, they've traveled again. They're in a hotel room and Aaron gets a call because he brought his cell phone with him. And he says, they are back. I wrote that in quotes. I don't know what I meant.
They are back.
He says, probably they're not back yet. So they think it's okay to answer it because in that moment.
Oh, no, that's later. This time he just answers it because it's the first time his phone is rang. And then that's what he says. Abe says, don't bring your phone back with you.
Yeah, but they think it's okay to answer it because their doubles are still in the boxes.
Yes.
Okay.
But don't take your phone with you in the box. That way, this will be the only time your phone rings.
Yeah.
And we'll be cool.
Yeah. And I also wrote a note that they're not clear on what day is what. They're not clear that this is a Monday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday. They're not clear on that. So then we see them walking down the street and Aaron gets the same call and he doesn't answer it. Mm-hmm. It's a call from his wife and he doesn't answer it.
And the whole time they're talking about, is the other one ringing now? How do cell phones work? Are they both ringing? Did you just steal the phone call from your double? Did we just create a paradox?
Yeah. So then all of a sudden Abe is sleeping and some kids on a skateboard are passing by some cars and they're hitting the cars and setting off the alarms and it wakes up Abe and it's 3 a.m.?
Yes.
Okay. And it says that on the clock, right? It's specifically, you look at the clock and it shows like 3 a.m.?
I think they say it too.
Like okay. Well, later on they say 2 a.m., but I wrote a big question mark because I think they say 3. Anyway, so.
Well, at one point they said 2:30, but the closed caption said 3:30.
Okay.
And I had to listen to it a couple of times.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're talking about the same time, but at one point they didn't match up, unfortunately, which.
So these kids wake up Abe, and I guess apparently Abe goes over to Aaron's house, and they're both awake at 3 or 2.
Middle of the night.
Yeah, in the morning. And they talk about going over to someone's house, and I wrote in parentheses, Platt, then going back to stop the kids so that my double gets good sleep.
This was weird.
The whole thing is
this
weird.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Because this was when I really, because this to me only exists to make the timeline short enough for this movie to almost make sense for them to do this in the middle of the night. Like it's just weird that Abe would be woken up by some punks and just be like, we're gonna go punch our boss in the mouth
and then go stop these kids so that my double can get good sleep. And then Aaron asks, well, how do we go back that far if the machines have not been running? And then that's when Aaron finds out, or Abe tells Aaron that he's been turning the machines on since 5 a.m. every day.
Or 5 p.m., I think.
A.m.
Because then in the morning, they turn them on again for that day. But he's been turning them on at night just in case something like that. Because I think every morning they're turning them on at 8 together.
So it's p.m.? So they're running all night?
I think it's fine. I think like after work, he goes and turns them on before he goes home for the day just in case.
So they're running all night? I'm pretty sure it said 5 a.m., but we can go back and check. But I mean, that still doesn't make sense. If they're already on at 5 a.m. and then they're going on to turn them on at 8.
Well, because they only want to go back to 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah, but if he's saying that he's been turning them on early, whether it's 5 a.m. or 5 p.m. and keeping them on this whole time, when they go to turn them on at 8 a.m., they would notice that they're already on.
Then Abe would probably go back at 5 a.m. to turn them off so Aaron would be none the wiser.
But they would have shown that.
Would they have?
So,
remember what movie you're watching.
So when we're done with this explanation, I want to show you the YouTube video that I watched because it was incredibly helpful.
Awesome.
Okay. It's 23 minutes long though, so but we're gonna watch it.
Awesome.
Okay, so Abe tells Aaron that he's been turning the machines on. I wrote down since 5 a.m. Desmond wrote down since 5 p.m. but we can go back and check that. So now they're driving somewhere. I'm assuming they're trying to go to Platt's house so that they can punch him, which is just stupid. And they see a car outside their house that looks like Rachel's car, but instead it's his dad's car, Mr. Granger, the guy that they want funding from, sitting in front in his car. And they mentioned that it's 2 a.m. and they say that he looks he looks like he has a 5 o'clock shadow. Abe mentions, I saw him earlier and he was clean shaven and now he has a 5 o'clock shadow. He said 2 or 3 days worth of growth. And they say maybe he's drunk. And so then Abe calls Mr. Granger. He gets his number and he calls him and it seems as though he is talking to a Mr. Granger, meaning now there are two of them. And then they get out of the car because Mr. Granger starts to run. They run after him. Abe turns a corner and Mr. Granger and Aaron are lying on the ground like they got into it or they fell or something. And then all of a sudden, Mr. Granger's in a coma. I'm
so, just like Ari. Ari just went into a coma.
I'm rolling my eyes right now. So Mr. Granger's like a vegetable in Aaron's house. And they never resolve this, by the way. They never talk about...
Probably Abe's house, actually.
Whoever's house.
Yeah.
Someone's house. He's a vegetable. And they never resolve this.
Ever.
No. So now they're trying to figure out what happened. And they're like, you know, did you talk to someone? How did he get this information? That means he knows. That means he's traveled. What's going on?
Did you tell him? Did I tell him? Why would we tell him?
Yeah.
Which box did he get in? They go to the storage room to try to figure out what box he might.
Yeah. And everything looks normal.
I think the boxes are running, but they're afraid to open them in case he's in there. They don't know what that'll do. Yeah. And so they just go home.
And then we see Abe getting stuff to be able to go back or be able to go in the box for a long time. And he says precisely 4 days.
Yes.
Okay. Then we learn about the different room and the failsafe machine. So Abe built another box in the very beginning and he called it the failsafe machine. And it has been running constantly from the very first travel.
Probably. I'm going to guess the second travel. I'm going to guess Abe tested it. When it worked, then he built a failsafe. That's my guess.
Yeah, you're probably right.
My guess is all I have.
Yeah. So then you see Abe sleeping and a gas mask goes over him and he gets gassed. And then it looks like Abe gassed his double. And
not to death.
No, probably just put him to sleep.
Putting him out for a while so we can figure out what to do.
So you can interact with your double and the universe doesn't implode. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Okay, then it's the same day I wrote, then it's the same day as before when Abe first talks. Okay, yeah. So then the same scene from Abe appearing on the roof, from the first time to go talk to Aaron, it's that same day. And he going in to talk to Aaron and he's kind of wobbly. And you see again that Aaron has an earpiece in his ear, which he had that first time of this scene. And he tries to talk to Aaron and Aaron is talking as though he is listening to something. And it turns out that he is listening to something. He has recorded this conversation before and is trying to say the exact same words. But Abe is like affected by all the traveling and he faints. And we see the recording piece in Aaron's ear, and he essentially has recorded this entire interaction so that he can do it again the same way as he always done. And I wrote a whole, when did he record this? The first time, in order to say it the same as he did the first time, meaning that first time we saw him, he was already listening to it, but when did he record it before then to listen to it? It's a whole. Then the voiceover refers to them by their name. So he's not saying we did this. At this point, you kind of know that it's Aaron doing the voiceover, but he doesn't refer to them and says we did this or I did that. He's saying they did this. Like they're completely different people. Then we show Aaron seeing the two rooms under Abe's name. So then we see that Aaron discovers that Abe built the failsafe box at some point in the beginning of all this. He sees the other box and then he builds his own box to put inside the box to take back in time. Then he drugs himself with his and puts him in the attic. We don't know which one he's drugging or on which day, but he drugs himself and puts himself in the attic.
I think he's drugging his original self, the one we see the first time he ever time travels with Abe.
Okay.
I think that's who he's drugging.
Okay, that's a good guess. Okay, so then Aaron comes back the second time. So then there's two Aarons inside of a house, and then one of the Aaron leaves. Like, he, like, says, so okay.
Aaron 1 is the original Aaron who did the day with Abe, the first time travel. Aaron 2, failsafe Aaron, drugs Aaron 1. Okay. Aaron 3 comes back, but Aaron 2 is ready for him.
And then one of them leaves.
Aaron 2 leaves.
Okay.
Good job. So the one who came back and did the drugging but then got beat up by number three, leaves.
Just leaves.
Because he realizes that the person who came back again obviously wants this more.
Yeah.
Like, he just came back to fix one thing. Who knows what this third Aaron is.
So at some point, there are three Aarons. So that again goes back to the whole I said earlier about, you know, they don't just disappear into the past. They still exist. You know, they're still in the rotation. So then it's revealed that Aaron recorded this from the beginning just in case he has to relive all this over again. Then the party happens again. And I guess they...
Which is this night.
Yeah, which is apparently the same night. So he stops the gunman again, even though he, you know, he already stopped him before. I guess he stops him in a different way. Then there's an issue with their handwriting and their hands. And they're like, why is our handwriting so weird? And then he says some line at the party that makes it sound like they have been doing this over and over again. He says 20 times.
Well, Aaron, too, is telling the story, and he can only imagine how many times Aaron 3 did this to get it perfect.
To stop the gunman.
Yeah. So I don't know how many times he did it. 3, 20.
So when we think that he stopped the gunman the first time, that might have taken potentially up to 20 times. He doesn't know. He's speculating.
Well, now it's almost like he wants to get it perfect. It's not even enough to stop the gunman. Because I think he's even redoing the original one that Abe, Philip, and what's his name are talking about. Like, I think that, because they say that only the last revision counts. So I think the one that they're talking about in the garage has already been rewritten. Okay. I mean, we can get into whether or not they're loops or not, or whether these timelines go on. But from Aaron 2's perspective, it's not enough to just, well, and it's his fault too, since he went in the failsafe. Now he has to redo it.
Yeah.
And then for whatever reason, he decides to, because the first time he did, Abe apparently didn't go. Like, it was just Aaron that was there to be the hero.
Okay.
And now he's got Abe involved to do it however many times, 20.
Potentially. So he stops the gunman, and then Aaron wants to leave. Aaron wants both him and Abe to leave. Abe does not want to leave.
So I'm sorry. I think the people redoing the party are doubles. I think that this Abe and Aaron, who just keep going back to get this party right, I think there are a different Abe and Aaron who are just doing that day the way they always did it.
Okay, so which Aaron and Abe are the ones that are trying to leave?
So, Aaron 3,
well, let's just,
and Abe 2.
Let's just finish the... So yes, Aaron, yes, and yes. Abe, and then you see Aaron and Abe at an airport, essentially, and Aaron wants to leave and Abe does not. And they talk about Star City, and mm-hmm. we see Aaron, and then we see Aaron getting out of the attic. Like, he breaks free out of the attic. And then
we also see Abe fall out of the bathroom.
Right. So
that's why I think the two at the airports are both doubles.
Okay. So they talk about, you know, our doubles will build a box. And Abe says that he's going to sabotage it so that they can never travel. And then Abe tells Aaron to leave. Aaron leaves. He says something about how Abe, like, likes his family, his wife and kid or something.
Yeah, this is when, yeah, it seems like Abe's been coveting Aaron's family this whole time, which we don't see at all.
Yeah. And then Aaron leaves. And the next thing you see, he's in France. And it is implied that he's trying to build another bigger box.
I think he's building all the boxes. I think, because he says every half meter everywhere. I never even thought about that he's building a large. I felt like he was building 1,000 boxes so that he could set them all to a different time to return to if he wanted to. That's what I thought.
They're not clear.
They
are not clear about.
And this is the Aaron that's apparently made the phone call from the beginning. That's been
the
quote
recording,
unquote, narrating
the voiceover. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So that's the overview essentially from when you watch it for the very first time. If that was a confusing overview, that's because when you watch this movie the first time, it's ridiculously confusing. Okay. Do you want to watch the YouTube video that I saw, or do you want to talk about stuff?
Let's talk about stuff for a minute.
It's going to help you.
And I know it's going to help. And that's why I want to have a little bit of a conversation first.
Okay.
To just purge my brain the way it took all this in.
My first hole that I wrote is, why do the little paper bits float over the machine? Like, nothing floats.
Well, they're so light. Their whole, the whole thing they're making this device to do is to, and I even wrote it down, degrading gravity. And so you take something that's as light as a hole punch, and if you, you know, it's, it becomes weightless very quickly. So that's what I got out. A Weeble, even something as light as a 6 gram Weeble, is not going to hover. It's only going to become lighter, but something like a hole punch will just float. So that, I believe, is what that was about. So yeah, so this took part, again, they don't do a very good job. That was something I got upset with too, watching this again, was, again, I like this movie because such a short amount of time is taking place, but you don't know where in the hell you are.
Like what day it is?
What day it is, what room you're in. It took me forever to realize that I think they're in Abe's kitchen a lot. Like they're either in a hotel or Abe's kitchen. And forever, I thought that Abe's kitchen was another hotel room that they were bouncing to. But, and I mean, it was a real bummer. Like spoiler alert, I'm really upset with this movie now too.
What? Now you are?
Well, no, I was before we started, but I wanted to play good cop just to get us into this movie and to just have some conversation. But truth be told, this movie is annoyingly confusing.
Yeah, so, okay.
Unnecessarily confusing. It can be confusing and without confusing you.
Yes. So the concept of the time travel, I think, is great.
Yes.
It's original. It's kind of, you know, somewhat plausible, right? You wait out a day and then you go back to the beginning of that day. It's cool.
The fact the machine only works when it's on.
Yeah, all these aspects.
Brilliant.
Are really well thought out. Now, it's kind of fun to be a little confusing with the audience, but not, you have to explain it at the end. You cannot be confusing from start to finish and vague from start to finish, or you're just going to piss people off.
Yeah. Yeah. I think part of it was that this movie took very long to film, but it took him 3 years to finish. A lot of that time was spent ADRing.
Yeah, and editing.
And editing. And I think at the end, there was a lot of footage he didn't have, but he also didn't have the budget to go back and reshoot it.
Yeah, that's the feeling that I got. I got the sense that they maybe forgot to film some important stuff, but they couldn't go back and do it again, so they just left it the way it was.
And did poor or even non-ADR and just like, hey, yeah, remember like what you said? No. Like,
yeah.
And something so simple. And I mean, I can see why in a time travel movie, you might have felt like this was hacky and giving the audience too much. Tell us what day it is. Just like, I'm pretty sure the mainstay of this story happens within 5 days.
So because I've watched the explanation, I know the answer to this, and it is yes. This goes from Monday to Friday.
Okay. That's what I got when I sat down and I kept track of it. And it's kind of hard because there are some conversations where you don't know if that's the same night as when they time traveled or if that's another day where they're taking a day off. But then when you see that the failsafe is only 3 days and 22 hours, that's when finally you're like, okay, so this has to be very, very quick.
Yeah, and they didn't explain that. And I remember when this first came out, people were going crazy for it. But it's probably because they didn't understand it and they didn't want to seem dumb that they didn't understand it. So that they're just like, yeah, I love this movie. It's so great. When in reality, they were like, I have no idea what's going on. It must be an amazing movie because I don't understand a word of it.
Well, I think in 2004, too, there was this love for not being spoon-fed. And even if you left confused, you were so happy that the director didn't treat you stupid. But then, yeah, after rewatching it and 15 years passing, you're like, you can tell me what the fuck is going on without making me feel like an idiot.
This could have been done better. You could still be vague and intrigue people, but you could have done it better.
I mean, look at See You Yesterday. I'm taking that one because that's the same thing. It's a short amount of time, one day at best. That movie, the science was as vague as any time travel movie. And you know, there's nothing you could latch say, that's not how protons work. But you still knew where you were in that universe, on what day, which double was doing it. And Thomas Granger?
I love that now you're getting frustrated as me.
I was on my way, and then you really, I'm like, Ariel, sorry, I can't even say your name. I was going to say Ari, and then I was like, you're either going to figure this out for me, or you're going to completely blow it up. And you totally blew it up. And yeah, that's my biggest hole is Thomas Granger. Like, how Abe, who's staying back to try to keep all this together.
Can we watch the video now?
Yes.
Okay. In 2004, a low-budget science fiction film took Sundance by storm. Primer is quite possibly the most complex time travel film ever made. Filmmaker and former engineer Steve Carruth determinedly refused to dumb down the dialogue to make the film easier to decipher. Instead, he decided to trust that his audience would return to the film again and again in order to fully understand it.
Thank you, London City Girl. I will be putting a link to that on one of our social media pages.
So we just watched the YouTube video that I had watched explaining very well about this movie. And by the look of Desmond's face, I'm guessing he's pissed off. Am I right?
I am.
See, I was too. That's why I came into this podcast today pissed off, is because there's so much that happened that they didn't show in the movie. But if they did, it would have been a better movie. Grr. That's my angry noise.
Yeah. And they talk about this being one of the most complex time travel movies ever. And I think it's one of the most confusing time travel movies ever, and often unnecessarily. And it's so frustrating, because he could have left a few breadcrumbs without treating his audience like total.
So we're going to put a link, I'm assuming.
Absolutely.
So that you guys can also watch this video and kind of understand what we're talking about. It does a better job of telling you what day it is and where they're traveling to than the movie does. And if the movie had done this, the movie, I think, would have still been confusing, but so much better.
Yeah. And I did a pretty good job as far as, like, the problem with my notes is I made too many of them. Like, as I was watching that video, I kept on grabbing notes and just being like, I think I wrote that down.
No, you...
And I actually did a pretty good job.
You did. You watching it 10 times or however many times you did, you actually figured out a lot of that. I did not. I had to watch that and then go, oh, okay.
Because they got to five Abes, six Aarons, or five Aarons and six Abes, something like that.
Yeah, there were more Aarons than Abes.
I definitely didn't get there. Like, I didn't, I don't know. I think I could have watched it 100 more times. I don't think I would have gotten, especially, well, it's weird that they got to five and six while also saying that they disappeared in the past.
So that is my biggest issue with this. There is a hole with this. Obviously, it's time travel. There will always be a hole, like I always say. But they just say that they go back into the machine and disappear into the past, which is not what would happen. You don't just disappear. And if they did want that to be the law, they would have to explain that. They'd have to explain the, like, the A end and the B end, and explain it somehow in math. Even if it's not real, they would have to explain it.
Because are they trying to say that, since, you know, like the Abe and the Aaron who were the Abe and the Aaron sitting on the truck eating lunch are watching the Abe and the Aaron go into the box, but since they sitting on the truck are the Abe and Aaron that are going into the box. The one thing that's interesting is that when Abe and Aaron have their first day, where Abe is explaining the whole thing to Aaron, right before their parting ways, Aaron says, I wonder what I did the first time through. And then he says to Abe, please don't ever do this again to affect my day. Which, to me, I love, because you know me, I'm always wondering that in all these movies. What happened the first time? And I do like that they contemplated that idea. But in time travel, there's always some form of, this is the way it's always happened, has always happened, will always happen.
If it's a loop.
But if this is a single timeline, don't they kind of disappear? Like, isn't there an alpha? No, there isn't, because there's multiple. Because even at the end of this movie, there is two Abes and two Aarons living in this world. In now. In timeline alpha, there are two Abes and two Aarons. happens.
Yeah, so they are saying that this is one timeline. There's no alternate timeline when you travel, and that your past self just disappears.
So unless you're duplicated in that same moment and you can see your other you, if it's a single timeline, don't you kind of disappear?
So you only disappear if you get back into the box. So the Aaron that got locked in the attic for however many days didn't just disappear. Apparently you have to get back into the box to disappear. And sure, if that's what you want it to be, great. But then explain it, even if it's fake science, explain it. Because as of right now, you wouldn't just disappear. You'd be in the box and you'd go back to 9 a.m. and you'd be doing the exact same thing your first person did. Like if you draw it out on a piece of paper, you've got the person who was in the hotel room goes into the box at 3, goes back, and then lives that day out again. While they're living that day out again, you've got the people in the hotel room. They're living out their day. They live it out past 3 p.m. But at 3 p.m., your hotel people are going into the box at 3, going back to 9 a.m., and then living out their day. Why do they just disappear? They right. go back to 9 a.m. and then live out their day past 3 p.m. So now there's two versions of them.
And that's the one thing. I won't put that on the movie because that was definitely just part of the explanation we just watched. The movie doesn't say they're gone. They're gone from our reality, which is all that matters. And they say that in the movie. They say that this now is all that matters.
Yeah, in the movie, they do not explain what happens. They don't even bring it up as to what happens to our double. How do they go away? They just ignore that. But that's a hole. It's a huge hole.
Evacipate.
It's a good word.
That is the word that Aaron plays when they're playing Scrabble in the hotel room. I looked up evacipate. Evacipate, to undo the consequences of your actions by changing the original circumstances, to erase your own history. Fictitious word created by Shane Carruth in the movie Primer.
Wait, it's not a real word?
It is not a real word. It is a word that was, in the research I did, it...
Where did you see the definition of that word? Where did you just look
up? I straight up Googled evacipate in Primer.
And it came up in like Urban Dictionary?
I just read the top like definition. You know, I'll sometimes Google, they'll put some options below, but then like at the top, it'll be like, this is the one. Thank you for listening to Time Pop. Please like and subscribe and tell a neighbor or friend about it so you can share a discussion of your own on the topic of time travel. Stay tuned to social media for ongoing discussions about episodes and a heads up on what film is coming up next in case you would like to play along. You can find us at What Sounds Awesome on Facebook and Instagram, and at Sounds Awesome 2 on Twitter. And also our Time Pop specific, we are at TPOP9216 everywhere. Please feel free to email us directly with questions and comments at wesoundawesome@gmail.com. Don't be shy if you're catching up on old episodes. We would still love to hear some new thoughts on old tales. And definitely let us know about a movie you would like to hear us discuss on a future episode. And also check out whatsoundsawesome.com to hear what else sounds awesome. Ari and Dez will be back in 2 weeks with a new time travel tale, but if you would enjoy another fun film discussion, tune in to Rotten Popcorn next Wednesday, starring Scott and Dez. On that show, we discuss films that have a vast difference between critics and audience based on Rotten Tomatoes ratings. Sometimes the critics love it, fans do not. Sometimes it's a fan favorite and critically crushed. Next week on Rotten Popcorn, we are talking about the movie Drop Dead Fred. This is the first recording Scott and I ever did for Rotten Popcorn, so it's a very interesting journey to where we have gotten now, and it's a very interesting movie, so tune into that. And now, back to the big finish. Any more holes? Did you hit all your holes?
My holes were around when Aaron recorded his playback, you know, when he was listening to what he had to say in every specific moment. My holes were like, when did he do that? But this explanation that we just watched said he did that like the second time around and then went back to 5 a.m. Monday and then had it from there. So it explained it in this explanation. But there are a couple scenes where he doesn't have his earpiece in and you think that he should. Technically, he should have his earpiece in all the time because at one point he travels back to 5 a.m. Monday. Anyway, this movie hurt hurts my brain. I know in the past I talk about, I like how time travel kind of hurts your brain a little bit because you got to think about weird things. This hurts my brain in not a fun way.
Yeah. Congratulations, Ari. You've ruined another one for me.
Anytime, my friend.
You're very, very good at that. I shouldn't say that. You've made as many of these movies better than they are, probably more. But I think, you know, I think a lot of these movies, I mean, time travel falls apart when you get into it. I think that that's part of it. And I think that this is still, I still like this movie. I unfortunately do not like it as much as I did a week ago.
You're welcome.
And I now own it. I should have owned it a long time ago. I bought it for $8 or $9. And I think that I owe Shane Carruth $8 for the amount of time I've gotten out of this movie.
Wait, you owe him money?
I bought it. I feel like the amount.
You feel like it was worth the $8.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I do not.
I feel like that. I owe him a punch in the nose.
If you could go back in time.
And go pow.
And punch Shane Carruth in the nose. I guess just to have some continuity between our episodes, would you like this version of time travel? I know, you know, we'll pretty much always find a reason to use time travel. Is there anything in particular?
I would not like this version of time travel, but I have to say that I very much respect the concept of it, where in order for you to go back, let's say 6 hours, you must spend 6 hours of your time traveling back. That I really respect as far as time travel goes. So if you wanted to travel, let's say 1 year in the past, it will take you 1 year of your life, which is a really interesting concept. But no, I wouldn't do this. I would not do this time travel.
Yeah, that's part of the realism of it too, is the toll it takes on your body. It's not a snap of the fingers. I did find it weird. One of the holes I'll mention is that when they talk about how tired they are from the 36-hour days, aren't they sleeping in the box?
Yeah, and they could also be sleeping in the hotel room, so I don't know why they're so tired.
Yeah, there's plenty of time to make up that lost sleep. I think we've done a good job of laying this movie out there, and I guess promoting conversation is one of the other things that I like this podcast to do. So hopefully we have promoted that conversation for you guys to carry it out. And please, as usual, tell us why we're wrong. Tell us why we're idiots and we should love this movie more than ever now, and that we're just dummies. We just don't get it.
Oh boy.
Thank you for listening. Thank you, Ari. Until next time, I am Desmond McNeese.
And I'm Arielle Gala. Bye.
It's a weeble, but weebles wobble, but they don't fall down.
Oh boy.